Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This year, there will be no gathering around the table with extended family for the Passover Seder and no congregating at church for Easter Sunday. In Massachusetts and across the world, people are stuck in their homes, distancing to prevent the spread of coronavirus. So what does that mean for these two religious holidays that rely so much on coming together? Tell us what you think. How are you celebrating Passover this year? How are you planning on observing Easter Sunday? What'll be different than years in the past? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Two folks have joined us to talk about this. The first is Rabbi Joel Seisenwein, Senior Rabbi of Temple Beth Elohim in Wellesley. Rabbi Seisenwein, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Also with us is Reverend Laura Everett, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Council of Churches. Reverend Everett, thanks for being with us.
Happy to join you.
So I'll start with you, Rabbi Seisenwein. Last night was the first night of Passover, which Jewish people all over the world celebrate with the traditional Passover meal, the Seder. Tell me about how last night was different for you than for other years.
Thank you. Before describing any sense of loss, I do want to begin with a word of gratitude to all who are on the front lines, the caregivers and the doctors and the nurses and all in essential services who are out there protecting us each and every day. At the same time, I do acknowledge that there was a sense of loss last night. This year was different than all other years, as Passover is typically a time when we welcome guests. We welcome our family into our home for a home observance, a Passover meal. And certainly last night was different as we were isolated and we needed each other. And so we really gathered over platforms like Zoom and the internet and the phone and any way we could connect. And I can say that Passover came just at the right time, because really it's about a holiday, about a people that is constrained, that is isolated, and comes out of the experience not bitter or distrustful, but if anything, even stronger than before, dedicated to helping the oppressed and caring for the abused and reaching out to the stranger. So I think that all in all, the feedback I've received was that it wasn't the same. And yet, in some ways, the messages of Passover resonated even more deeply this year.
Reverend Everett, these are important holidays in these faith traditions. What do we lose when we can't gather physically to either celebrate or observe them?
Well, I think it's okay to grieve what is lost. I'm happy to gather with friends in prayer online, but I know that I would much rather be breaking bread and singing together in person. The claim of Christianity is that God's love became embodied, became enfleshed. And so it's really hard for us to wrap our minds around this idea of the church not closed, but the church dispersed. You know, there's very little right now that resembles our prior Easters. And yet there's an honesty to this Holy Week. We're looking death and empire in the eye. And as another pastor friend of mine said, every other Holy Week is preparing us for this one. And for me, it's been really important to remember that the story of Easter, the story of Jesus's death on Good Friday, burial, and then resurrection, is a story that happens in a graveyard. This is how far God's love goes, even to the grave. And so I feel especially strongly this year, maybe stronger than any other year, that the message of Easter is for all those who are feeling entombed and isolated and scared, all those who are feeling traumatized like those first disciples, people who were afraid to leave their homes because the teacher they were following had just been executed, that God goes all the way with us. God goes all the way to the tomb. Holy Week rarely gets told like this, but it's a story of a traumatized people, too.
So I'm struck by some of the themes that I just heard from both of you, and I just wanted to give a second for you to react to each other, talk to each other a little bit.
Rabbi Joel, what are you thinking?
First of all, I think that the sense of renewal that comes through these holidays and hope are so important at a time when these faith communities are so accustomed to gaining strength from each other. And so it is good to share these common themes of renewal and spring at a time of increasing darkness.
And Reverend Everett?
I'm feeling really indebted to our Jewish kin, and feeling really tethered to the Jewish parts of the Easter story, too. My experience is that Judaism has a really robust tradition of home-based practices. Christians are used to expressing our faith by gathering in churches. And so, you know, today for Christians is Maundy Thursday, and in years past I would have seen churches gather for our practice of celebrating the Last Supper. But this year I'm having the Last Supper at home. I'll have it with my wife. We'll join our church online. But I'm watching Christianity become massively more home-based in our practice right now, and I really think we have a lot to learn from our Jewish kin because of that.
I'd like to grab a call here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Louise on the line from Brighton. Hello, Louise.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if my what I had to say applied exactly to this, as I'm someone who kind of stands between a few religions in terms of what they think. But this week I participated in a Passover Seder with friends, and I'll do some semblance of Easter dinner with family and friends through, you know, Zoom and whatnot. And I think it's really important that we're talking about all this in the face of what's going on with the virus, and remembering that however people connect across religions, it's important to do that. It's important to support each other. And I think if you look at both Judaism and Christianity, you see elements of that in the shared stories. You also see that people need to keep asking questions and keep persisting, if you will. And I think those are things that we all need to remember, whether we're thinking about our own families, the people we serve in our community, particularly if we're healthcare workers, regardless of whether we're on the front lines or if we're journalists or politicians.
Thank you for that, Louise. I appreciate the call. And I do want to add another caller voice here. So let's also hear from Liat in Arlington.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to share my experience. I know everyone has, you know, these challenging times. I have a one-year-old. I'm sure you can hear him in the background.
Hello.
Yeah, so we were able to connect. I actually have family on the island of Curacao. My parents are living there, and they're also on lockdown. And my husband's family lives here in the Waltham area. And his sister and brother's not far away. So we were able to connect, actually, my family with his. And it was just a really special experience, I guess, to do that online. And we were singing, you know, Achad Miyodat or Achad Miyodea. And we each assigned ourselves, which is a prominent song in the Seder, and we each assigned ourselves a number and kind of were able to coordinate a sing-along, which was quite remarkable. And I do think with some coordination and effort, it's a really nice, can be a really nice, I'll get a little shorter of
yeah.
the Seder.
Thank you for that, Liat. And Rabbi Joel Seisenwein, do you have a lot of people from your temple who are doing Zoom Seder? Basically, I don't mean to sound flippant at all, but
you are not being flippant at all. It is quite a powerful platform. In fact, attendance at our worship has grown exponentially, fivefold, sixfold, and it continues to grow and grow. We're finding at a time of great isolation that the internet actually can bring us together in ways that we had never imagined, especially platforms where we're able to see each other. And so while we're a liturgical faith community that is dependent on a concise liturgy, we actually in our synagogue have decided to focus on people's faces as opposed to the actual words of the liturgy. Focus on seeing one another at this time of isolation. And we see conversations taking place non-verbally or through text or through email. It's quite extraordinary to see how the internet actually can be a great convener.
And Laura Everett, you are the head of the Mass Council of Churches. Is this a set of practices that you're seeing across the Commonwealth with churches? And good thing, bad thing, thing you'd like to have continue after the virus, hopefully the social distancing has passed?
I echo Rabbi Joel. I think, look, we've seen more change in the past 3 to 4 weeks than maybe in the past 3 to 4 years. Pastors have been enormously creative and innovative, and I'm so proud of so much change and welcome and adaptation and hospitality that's happened. There will things that will continue and that are quite good. And I think there are things that we miss and long to do in person, especially for Christians, celebrating the Last Supper, the Eucharist, communion. That's bread and wine, and we do that in community. And I know some people have been fasting from the practice of receiving communion, and people really longing to receive that too. So, you know, there are some things I think we'll keep on the other side of this. There are some things that it'll be okay to put down, but something fundamentally has changed for the Christian community as well.
We have just a couple minutes left, and I did want to ask each of you, your spiritual leaders in a difficult time and your spiritual beings in a difficult time, where are each of you drawing sustenance right now? What is particularly filling your cup or supporting you? Actually, Reverend Everett, let's have you go first.
Sure. You know, I've never pastored through a plague before, and there was no class on that in seminary. But the church has. The church has been through plagues before, and I'm really steadying myself by turning to older stories in the church. I've been reading again Bishop Richard Allen, who founded the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and Absalom Jones, were Black Christians who cared for white neighbors during the yellow fever in Philadelphia in 1793. I'm going back. I'm reading Angels in America about AIDS in New York. I've been following the travails of St. Rocco, a Roman Catholic saint from Italy in the 1300s, who stayed alive because he was fed by a dog and a wealthy neighbor. And so what's helping me in these past disruptions is learning from the past faith of my ancestors, and blessedly that includes the story of Exodus, the story of the Israelites and the plague.
I'm sorry to stop you there, but I want to make sure we get a chance to hear from Rabbi Joel Seisenwein too before we have to go. Go ahead, Rabbi Joel.
Thanks. I'll just say briefly, Passover teaches us that people can overcome difficulties and even grow stronger when they remain united and dedicated to a common purpose. And that's where I'm gaining my sustenance. I am seeing people reach out in ways like never before. We asked for volunteers to deliver groceries to those who are isolated or can't go out. And we saw more volunteers step forward than I have ever seen in the last 25 years of my rabbinate. People want to do good.
That's the perfect place to end our show today. Rabbi Joel Seisenwein,
Amen.
Senior Rabbi of Temple Beth Elohim in Wellesley, and Laura Everett, Reverend Laura Everett, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Council of Churches. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you. If I can just say happy Easter and happy Passover.
Thank you.
Blessings upon you.